Well, I was actually born in Inverness, but brought up, you know, just because my mother was in the nursing home in Inverness. Brought up in, at Lynemoor, which is down at Moy. You know, there's Lynebeg, and then Lynemoor is the last. Lynebeg didn't exist at that time. Last houses didn't exist. With no road to it, just a small track that went down through the heather, down to Moy Station. And there was a sort of cart track as well going up to it, where they brought the coal and the horse and cart and things like that. And we lived there until I was about 13. My mother was actually born in Canada, in Vancouver. And her father was killed at the very end of the First World War. And her and her mother came back home to this country. Her parents had emigrated out there before the war, for the First War. And they eventually, my grandmother remarried, and they came to live at Moy Station when my mother was about 9. My father's parents, his father had come as the farm, what they called the farm greave in them days, a farm manager, to Moy Holy Estate. In about 1914, I think. My father was about 7 years old. And therefore, my father went on to the estate as a kennel boy, worked his way up to the head keeper eventually. But he was an underkeeper when they got married, and they lived up in that house, up at Lynemoor.
Right.
No water, no electricity. Water from the well. Well, naturally no electricity, because none of us had at that time. That would be, cause I was born 36. And then my two sisters are quite a bit younger. Margaret's 4 years younger. Dorothy's 6 years younger than me. And we were up there till my father got the headkeeper's job in 1949. And we moved down to the kennels at Moy Hall. The flitting moved down on the horse and cart. You know, but I mean, my mother used to have to carry everything up from station. Game bags in the back, even the babies were carried in the game bag, you know. Down to my grandmother's, they were, you know, the game bags.
When we were little.
So then we moved down, and by that time I was in secondary school. But we did have to, you know, I had to walk to Moy School naturally.
Went to Moy School?
Moy School from 5 to 12. Lots of evacuees around in them days. There was evacuees staying in the farmhouse at Moy who came to the school. And there was one or two just boarded out with people, you know, with families going to the school. So I came from Edinburgh area. There was also a lot of evacuees in the old Moy Hall, which you'll have seen photographs of the old Moy Hall, the big castle-like place. But they were self-contained. They had their own teachers and people looking after them.
Why?
I don't know. And they weren't there that long.
Why they were so, they were special ones?
Yeah. Came from the Glasgow, I think, that area. And they were, you know, they weren't mixed in with the local kids at all. And we'd walk up the old A9, the old A9 to school. It used to all masses of field.
Was that just a two rooms? Two rooms, a junior and an infant?
Well, it was one big room with a curtain dividing it. And when I went there originally, there was two teachers, and then most of the time there was only the one teacher, so the curtain had been taken away and the one teacher coped with everybody. It wouldn't have been that many of us in it, so. But I mean, people walked, like there was people in Ruthven, they walked to Moy School. We all, you know, coming from all sides.
That was a long way.
So both my parents went to Moy School as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been associated with Moy a long time. Went to then I went to the high school in Inverness. Again, I had to walk down to get the bus, you know, what was Moy Station, that area. And same when we moved to the kennels, I still went to the high school.
Yes.
Where I stayed till I was 17. Took one or two hires, not very many. and then it was again a problem of getting a job, getting work, getting, you know. I was suggested I'd go in for accountancy, but you couldn't, parents couldn't afford to keep you in digs. They couldn't afford, you couldn't afford to do that and pay your fares. You know, you were getting practically nothing. So, you know, so from then I went into a, the head office of Caledonian Associated Cinemas as a bookkeeper.
In Inverness?
In Inverness. Right. Went down every morning, came back every night. Sometimes on the bus, sometimes back on the train. Well, always came back on the train.
Yes.
Had to leave work early to get back on the train.
And that's all gone now.
It's all gone. Yeah. Yes. It's all gone, yeah. Until I got married, 59. I'd known Ollie a bit from school days in the bus, you know.
Yes. You'd known him all your life.
Oh, no, not, well, from the time... From the time we'd probably been about 13, I suppose, when he started going to the high school as well. Not, well, knew him to see him, that's about it, until after he was told he was in the army.
So he went into the army?
Ollie went into the army at the National Service, 18. Went out to Dollard. He did a lot, as he'll probably tell you. He, Cameron Highlanders, so he was out in Germany. He was back in Elgin, and then he spent a lot of time out in Korea. But that was after the Korean War.
Yes.
At the time he was 20, he had sort of been all round the place, you know.
They did 2 years.
Yeah, they did the 2 years. Yes. And he was sort of lucky that he did see a lot of the world in that 2 years. So we got married in 59. And, I mean, in between, I suppose, you know, entertainment-wise, we always had a little village hall in Moy, which there was always the Christmas parties and the whist drives and dances. And like Ian, Betty's husband, was always one of, and Andrew Mackay along the road with the band, who played at the local dances everywhere. As probably Betty told you, you know, that, I mean, her husband, Andrew Mackay, before they were all married, were the local band that used to come and play at these village halls, you know.
Is the village hall still at Moy?
No, it's been down quite some time. It was actually not a village hall. It was part of the estate because it was called the Reading Room. And I think, as far as I can remember, my parents talk about the daily papers were put in there for the estate workers to go and read them if they wanted to. Because, I mean, most of the people in Moy would have worked on the estate, you know, apart from the railway workers. It would have been foresters and gardeners and keepers and just farm workers, housemaids. They'd all have been in the house, but in the farm, so there would have been dairy maids and cattlemen and, you know.
It was a big farm then?
It was quite a big farm, you know. And, I mean, that's where we went for our milk. We went to the dairy. The milk went up into the dairy.
Was it just milk or other things?
Well, milk. You know, it was mostly milk.
Just milk.
I suppose in the early days, all that, the cream and stuff, if the house, the big house was occupied, cream and stuff and butter and stuff would have been made for the big house, you know.
Well, what did you do for shopping?
Vans. Cooperative van used to come once a week. And it, well, it couldn't come up to line where we were, but so that mother had to cart everything up in the game bag.
So she had to walk down
to the van, the station cottages at Moy. Everything on her back, you know. I mean, it was hard work.
Took time.
Hard work for them, you know. Because only later on in years you think of that.
I mean, washing and that kind of thing.
Washing.
And I mean, latrine. How did she heat the water for the washing?
In summertime, there would have been a fire outside with a big pot put on it to heat the water properly. I can remember that, but it was a black range, you know, in the house, because they had no, some of them had water boilers, but this one didn't have,
so you had a range.
She had an old black range, which had to be blackened and lit every morning to boil the kettle.
Yes.
It was hard work for people, and as my grandparents weren't so well, she would walk down to the farm once a week and do their washing and...
Yes.
You know, and then she would be back home, she'd be baking enough for her own family and for the grandparents as well,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
It was taken for granted, wasn't it? Yeah. So until we were, you know, until I was about 13. And
remember anything about your father's work? Anything?
Well, he was gamekeeper from the time he was left school at probably 14.
Yes.
In them days. Mm. Just worked his way up as pony being kennel boy.
Mm.
And then underkeeper, and it would have been, well, even when I can remember, there was two underkeepers and a headkeeper, until he got the headkeeper's job, and then things were going downhill by then.
Yes. What time would that be?
Well, that would have been 48, I went to the high school.
Just after 48, the war.
47, 48, 49.
So just after the war, things went down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The previous managers had died. I can't remember. Well, I could remember, but I have a feeling it was somewhere like 1939 or something.
Mm.
And then the other one took over, and he was in the Navy. He was a cousin of the previous MacIntyres, who would have been a father-in-law to Cecilia MacIntyre. MacIntyres would have been her father-in-law. So you know, there was all sort of farm work, a lot of forestry workers around once after the war, because everything a lot of the land was taken over by Forestry Commission. You know? During the war, of course, there was a lot of Newfoundlanders.
Yes.
Camping.
Yes.
Around. There was at least two camps at Moy, I think.
Mrs. Kelly's husband came from.
That's
Canada.
Right. That's right. He was one of them, and there was one. Down beyond Moy Farm, there was a camp, and there was a sawmill below Moy School.
Oh, it was below.
Well, the side, yeah, below the school. The Tullochleary side of the road, you know.
Yes.
It was where Pearl Cameron worked at one time. If you ever get a chance, then you should have a talk with Pearl. She's fit, if she's able to do it. Yeah, so, you know, that was all.
Mm.
And lots of army convoys when we were kids. I mean, we didn't see cars very much, but there would be a lot of army convoys going past at odd times, you know, because they were training up north, I think.
Oh, so they were coming backwards and forwards just for training.
Yeah,
yes.
I imagine that's what it would be anyway. Yeah. So there was always a lot of activity, you know, that we had to all. And
I mean, a lot of children then on the estate. Well, I mean, the playmates, that you weren't isolated.
Well, we were, because we were up on the hill.
Yes,
we were miles from
true.
Anybody. I mean, I didn't speak to anybody for a couple of weeks after I went to school. Didn't talk to anybody.
No.
Didn't even tell my name. I was known as a very dour child.
All right.
Because I didn't speak. But we didn't really get out to mix in with people that much, you know, not until we were a bit older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're older, you could walk down.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right. We did, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, because Vivian's aunt used to run a sort of club for us. Called it the Brownies, but it wasn't really the Brownies, you know. But we learned sort of how to tie knots and things like that. And she used to be always learning us to sing. To Sunday school as well, so she'd have a singing for that, you know.
Yes, because there was the church as well.
It was the church.
Meeting people there.
That's right. It was because the church then was only Moy to Martin and Delarissey, wasn't it? You know, it was not Deviot.